KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Well, it has been a little while, but we welcome John Chewood, Southern Boulevard Automotive, back into studio. John, you've been a stranger.
No stranger than I've ever been, but I have definitely been away, that's for sure.
We appreciate, of course, Southern Boulevard Automotive in Rio Rancho, the support of Christian Radio here in New Mexico. But John, even more so, appreciate your work for the kingdom. And I know recently you spent some time overseas. Tell us what brought about a trip to Uganda.
Well, Memorial Day this year, I was sitting in Sopo and right before church, and Clay Schroff came in, and he said, "Hey, I just got back from my Uganda trip." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I saw that on Facebook." He goes, "You know, I talked to them over there and asked them what their greatest need was." I said, "What's that?" And he says, "They need a mechanic."
Ah.
And so I said,
"I know one."
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, what do you know? I looked at him. I said, "Okay, I'll go."
Wow.
And that's what he said. He goes, "Are you serious?" I said, "Yeah, why not?" And, you know, Rebecca, my wife, is sitting there. She says, "Yeah, you know, she says, yeah, he can go. I mean, why not?" You know, and so.
Now, have you ever been over the Atlantic before?
I've been to Israel several times.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I told him, I said, "Well, give me a couple weeks." I said, "You know, and, you know, I'll go over. It's not a problem." And so then I called Bev, you know, Beverly Rich, who's the head of Called Christians over there. And I told her, I said, "Yeah, give me a couple of weeks." I said, "I'll put something together and I'll come over and I'll take care of your vehicles for you. It's not a big deal." I said, "You know, I'll be over there about a month." I said, "You know, if you don't mind." Said, "Oh, no, that'd be great. That'd be perfect." And said, "Okay." So we went over to make the phone calls and everything that coming Tuesday. And Clay had called me on Wednesday and said, "Hey," he says, "would you mind postponing it till August?" He says, "You know, we'd like to maybe gather some people together and go. And plus, we want you to speak in their school of ministry, you know, and teach while you're there." I said, "Yeah, sure. That's no problem at all." So anyway, went over on August 12th.
Not by yourself.
Actually, yes, I went by myself. Okay. I mean, it ended up being that way. Even though, you know, Memorial Day is in
May, yeah,
and May, the trip wasn't going to be until August, mm-hmm, it's still a short time.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, even though someone says, "Yeah, but it's 3 months," I mean, it's still a short time.
Right. Yeah, you're running a business and a ministry that you do. Yeah, you got to cover stuff. You got it. Yeah.
No, agreed. But at the same time, even for other people wanting to
go.
It became a real short time. So I ended up going by myself. And then 2 weeks later, a young lady named Angelica, who is a supporter and on the care team for Deborah Roberts, who's over there, she came over and she had brought some stuff with her as well for me and the vehicles. So, went over there, was over there for a month, locked arms with them, and started working on their vehicles day one.
All right. So how many vehicles does Called Christians operate in Uganda?
Well, it's interesting because if you said, you know, they have 8, you're like, wow, they must be doing well. Well, let's qualify that. You know, they have a 1988 Nissan Vanette. And okay, I know exactly. I see you shaking your head. Nobody knows what that is because they had so many problems when they introduced them here in the U.S. They only lasted a couple months and they had so many recalls and so many problems that they yanked them, even overseas. So there was only a few of them ever out there. And it's a little van. They have an 88 Vanette. They had a couple Toyota Land Cruiser Prados, 1994s, a lot of 90s vehicles.
And you know, for those of you that are like our age, and you hear 90s, you know, that was 30 years ago.
No, exactly. Exactly right. These are 30-year-old vehicles. And the roads over there are so bad. I'm talking really bad, especially when you go out into the villages.
Yeah.
I mean, I went over roads and I go, man, these are really bad. And they told me, they go, they are nothing compared to the roads that go out to the villages.
Yeah.
And they're not. I mean, so, you jump up and down in those vehicles.
So really pretty impressive that they had vehicles that were that old that were in any running condition.
And still together.
Yeah.
Still together. Because there was a one time that I said out loud while we're in the vehicle, I says, I cannot believe this vehicle is still together. I said, I mean, because you're holding on with everything you got, you know, and you're barely moving because of all the holes and the potholes that are in the road.
Right. Okay. So did you work on 8 vehicles?
Yes. Yes. Wow. Because different things everywhere from, you know, they had a vibration in one of the Prados that would end up being, you know, the drive line was bad. They had some noise up front. They needed wheel bearings. The wheel bearings were bad. They had wheels about to fall off. They had, injectors, they had belts, they needed servicing, they needed air conditioning, they needed all electrical work, they needed all kinds of stuff.
Now, when I get a vehicle that I've been in for, you know, quite a while, and it gets to a point where it's kind of like, you know, they get older, they get very temperamental.
Right, right.
I usually get to a point where it's like, well, that's for like in town. That's for, you know, short trips.
Right.
I'm not going to, you know, make it work too hard. Is that what you're looking at with these? They're going out on the road.
It's all they have.
Yeah.
Now, when we say they're going out on the road, okay, you have to have some perspective over there. It is a third world country. No, people say that.
So rutted dirt roads.
There's a lot of pavement, but it's not what you think.
Yeah.
For instance, there's hundreds of these little bitty small towns. Okay. And when you come into any small town, okay, and the pavement is, you know, potholed and rutted and everything else, you know, bad. But when anytime you come into a small town, you will come to these two speed bumps, like bump, bump, okay, that let you know you're in a small town.
Oh, right, right.
And a few yards beyond that are four speed bumps, ba, 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 boom. Okay, then you come to the big speed bump that the whole vehicle goes over, and then as you're leaving the town, you go over the four speed bumps, right. Bah, 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 boom, and then the last two. So no matter what, it slows you down.
Right.
Okay, now here's the perspective. When you say go out on the open road, I was in Jinja. That's where called Christians are. Okay, and again, you know, it's very, very poor. When I say third world country, people think Mexico. Not really. I've been to Mexico several times, and in comparison, I would not consider Mexico a third world country in comparison to Jinja.
Right.
I mean, Jinja, that's something else. Okay. But the people, and I'm not comparing, you know, Mexico with Uganda as far as people go, but the people there are so nice. They are, I mean, beautiful people. But here's the perspective I want to give you. You say they take them out on the open road. Jinja, okay, is a fairly large town. And the next, if you want to say city or, you know, somewhere place where you would get something, okay, is called Kampala. Okay. Kampala is 85 kilometers, approximately 50 miles. Okay. And I'm like, well, it's just 50 miles away. Well, that is 3.5 hour drive. One way and 3.5 hours
because of the speed you have to do on the roads.
Well,
the
speed, people, there's millions of these motorcycles. Okay. The brand is called Boxer, and there's a different brand too, but they call them Botas. Okay. And that's what the country really runs on, them and these little Toyota vans that are taxis. Mm-hmm. The motorcycles are taxis as well as the vans are taxis as well. Okay. And I mean, I have pictures, okay, of all kinds of stuff that they'll carry on these little motorcycles. And they're 100cc motorcycles. They're real small. I have one picture, okay, of four people on one motorcycle where the guy is actually sitting on the tank and he's taking these people. He's like a taxi, Uber, if you will, or even not just like carrying people, but I have pictures of these gigantic, dressers, boxes, lumber.
They find a way.
Charcoal. Yeah, yeah, because they are a third world country. They'll do whatever it takes to get the job done.
So there, you know, clearly even with 8 vehicles, there's a challenge just getting to where you need to do the ministry. I have to imagine being in a third world country, mm-hmm. Being a mechanic, you know, you don't have your neighborhood auto parts store on every corner.
No. In fact, actually, on my Facebook page, I posted a lot of videos and stuff like that. Like, and I have one video of just going down this dirt road, and you got these buildings, and they're all little niches in these buildings, little hole, you know, like little shops, if you will. And every one of those is places you can buy some type of an automotive part. but 99% of all the parts in there are used. Okay. That, I mean, and they call them spares. Okay. You can get a used spare
like used and not refurbished.
Exactly right. No, just flat out used. In fact, this one place I needed a specialty, bolt off of for a Toyota. It had to be a special thread size, and you know, the head had to be exact. I mean, this had to be so. They took me to this one little niche, and the guy is sitting out front. A woman actually owned it and ran it. You know, she's, you know, right there. I mean, you're talking only, the whole shop is only 3 foot deep, you know, by 4 or 5 foot wide. And the guy is sitting there, whoever's working for her, and he's taking the screws, the bolts, all and nuts, washers, and everything off this bad, broken transmission. And he wipes them off and hands them to her, and she puts them in her inventory. And that's what you go, that's how you buy stuff. I'm telling you, it's totally different. Like one day, I needed a sway bar bushing. I'd looked under this Prado, and it's just the bar hanging there with the metal saddle and no bushing. And I told the guys, I said, we need to go someplace where I can get a bushing for this. And they don't call them bushings. They actually call them bush. He says, you need a bush. I said, no, it's a bushing. And we go around and have fun with that. But anyway, so they take me to this place. And I have a picture of it as well. And it's, again, another little niche. Okay, you go in there. And I looked up, and there's like, you know, half dozen to a dozen tires up on these racks. And this guy is sitting there on the floor, and he's got all these big chunks of rubber pieces of tires that somebody has cut up for him. I'm talking like maybe, you know, 4x4.
They create their own bushings.
He's sitting there with a knife, homemade knife.
Yeah.
Okay. The handle is about, you know, what do you think, about 2x3? I mean, huge, his hand wrapped around it. And he's sitting there. I handed him the saddle, and he starts carving me out a bushing for what I needed.
There you go.
And I'm sitting there like, you got to be kidding me. and we're so spoiled. We are so spoiled in the United States.
In more ways, not just automotive,
oh,
obviously.
My. Yeah. I mean, because of just what you see and what you do. For instance, on the compound there, I said, you know, I told him, I said, wow, I said, my hands are so filthy. I said, where's your rags? And they looked at me and they go, what do you mean? I said, I need something to wipe my hands on. What do y'all wipe your hands on? And I started looking at their clothes, and their clothes are just covered in grease.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow. And so they went all over the place looking for something for me to wipe my hands on. And so finally one day we had gone into town, across from here, and we went down this one alley, and there's all these people with fabric and old dresses and clothes and everything. Their shops, though, and they had asked them in their language, Lugandan, you know, hey, we need some rags. And they told them what it was for. And this woman got, you know, she had this rag, and to them, it was something good, but they handed it to her. I felt so bad.
Right.
I felt so bad wiping my hands on this, you know, but we are just,
it's
so,
perspective,
so,
yeah.
Oh, our perspective is so warped over here. For instance, so again, Jinja is not a modern city by the remotest thinking. Okay. They do have one or two little things there, like their gas stations. There was like, you know, three or four gas stations I would consider semi modern.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and there's no self serve. I thought that was kind of nice, you know, because I grew up in the era.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah, me too. Yeah, back to the 70s.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, I worked in my dad's gas station where you pulled in.
Yeah.
I filled up your gas. I checked your oil. I washed your windows.
Yep.
They do that still over there. And mainly women are at the pumps, and they're waving you to them. You know, come here, come here, come here. And then after you fill up, you give them a tip, you know. And here's something interesting. Like, you give them 2,000 shillings, and they think, wow, that's 2,000 shillings. You know, that's 54 cents, you know, and yet if someone makes $500 American money over there a month, they're doing great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's actually a really good salary.
Well, put some good perspective on, you know, leaving this culture to go to another and do the work, which, again, thank you, John, for the time you took to Now, eight vehicles, did you get them running?
Every one of them.
Very good.
It was funny, Deborah Roberts, who's one of the missionaries over there, she took a picture of me when I came in one day, and it was like the day before I was to leave. I said, all right. And I said, what time is it? She says, 12:59. I said, at 12:59 on this date, all eight vehicles are completely up and running and ready to go. And we were laughing because she takes a picture of me and puts it on there. Says, it's a miracle.
Well, and, you know, just knowing you, John, I'm sure, you know, clearly a good mechanic, but you're ministry minded. And I have to imagine while you were there, you took some time to minister.
Every day. And what I mean by that is the young men that were with me, and I'm trying to teach them what to do and what to look for on every vehicle, every time they bring it in. There was always a time to talk to them about Christ, you know, and there was actually one day they asked me, they said, hey, tomorrow, instead of working on vehicles, we're going to have you go to these prisons. Okay. And Clay had told me about the, you know, prison ministry there. But I didn't go to the prisons that Clay went to. They took me about a couple hour drive outside of Jinja to these really, their prisons. But and again, you know, when I use the word prison, everybody thinks in their mind that the prisons we have here in America, a TV show they may have saw or a reality show or something like that. Not remotely, not remotely. These places are, they're small. Dank, they're, the food in them, I mean, they were telling us the food in them is just, you know, I mean, they're in prison over there.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, this is no joyride. And everybody that comes in there, like Beverly had told me when her and Jesse first started the prison ministry over there, you know, 25 years ago, that they went to the prison and they wouldn't even give them clothes. And they said this one guy comes out one day to greet him, and you know, and I'm not trying to be crass or anything, but just what she told me. She said he had a black piece of plastic about, you know, 12 inches in circle covering his private parts and running out to them and saying, we're sorry, you know, we really want you to come, you know, I mean, and so obviously Jesse, he was the only one that went in, but they didn't have clothes at all and they could care less. And the way their judicial system works over there is if Steve got arrested today, he stays in there until his court date, innocent or not. And you could be in there 6, 7, 8 years.
Wow.
It's a different story. So, but I'm telling you, went to these three prisons, you know, that are outside of Jinja, and like I said, several hours, but went out there. And, you know, obviously, you know, and here's something I found very interesting as well. All three prisons that I went to were ran by Christian women. And I'm talking, these women were heavy-handed. And you could tell. Went to this one prison, and she's talking to me, and she was just on fire for Christ. I mean, she loved Jesus. And we went in, and as soon as because you go into this one little foyer, and you had to put your cell phones down, and then walked in. We walked in behind her. We walked in, a guard on the right. I mean, he clicked to like he was in Her Majesty's Royal Army. He just saluted her. And then all the prisoners that were all the way over to the left that were in the shade waiting for us to come in, they all stood up right away to attention when she walked in, and she nodded her head and they all sat down. And I mean, so she knows this lady commanded respect. And so anyway, started talking to them and just a little bit, and then they started their worship. Them men know how to worship. All three prisons, these guys were just, I mean, obviously no music and everything like that. They were just worshiping God in their language and in their song. You had no idea what the word that they said, but you knew exactly what they were saying and to whom.
Yeah,
it was. I mean, seriously, that's the best worship I've seen.
Quite an experience. You know, I know one of the other opportunities you had, you mentioned being able to teach at the college, which is, you know, something you've done even here in New Mexico. So great opportunity for ministry. With the time we have left, I do want to make sure that we touch on a couple of things. John, speak to the person who's considered short-term missions. You know, financially they can do it, but they're apprehensive about it for one reason or another, maybe the culture shock, or are they well enough equipped? What would you tell someone who's considered short-term missions and maybe hasn't done it yet?
Go. Just go. Or the old Nike term, just do it.
Yeah.
You know, when Clay came in to me, okay, and he said, you know, hey, you know, and he wasn't recruiting. He was just flat out just having a conversation. He goes, oh, their greatest needs a mechanic. And I said, okay, I'll go. Okay. don't think about it. You know, it's almost like, to me, this is the way I view it. If I walk out of these doors right now, okay, and I go out in the parking lot and there's a man just got hit by a car, do I really need to pray about that?
Right.
Or should I say, God, should I help this guy that's bleeding to death? You know, is it your will? Am I being led that way? If you've got the opportunity, the means and the time, just do it. You will never experience anything like it. Now, again, I was over there for a month, okay? And my wife did not go with me. And I told him this. I told my wife this. So this is not something, you know, I'm saying, you know, out of line. If it hadn't been for my wife here, and if she had been with me, I would have suggested or even pushed to stay there a couple more months. Because even being there a month, for me, was a scratch. Mm. I hated leaving. Because, again, I felt like I was leaving them in a lurch. Because I was like, oh, yeah, but tomorrow one of these vehicles is going to break down. I've got to be here, you know. But I did have a lot of ministry time as well, and that was nice. You know, the pastor of the local church right there, he had gone to a pastor's conference, and he told me, he goes, hey, he says, I'm going to be tired when I get back. Would you mind covering for me this Sunday? I said, oh, no, I would love to. So I had an interpreter. I covered both services. I got to speak in a round table neighborhood discussion. I got to speak to the school of ministry. I got to speak to the staff. And again, at those prisons, I gave three altar calls. And at all three prisons, a lot of new prisoners were there. They wanted to see what was going on. Came down, all three big groups of men came down, knelt in the dirt, and gave their lives to Christ. I was able to pray with them and pray over them. And, you know, it was just rich. What you go away with, they're in a third world country, and you get more from them than you'll ever sometimes get here because of our complacency.
Yeah, you know, the limited short-term missions I've been on, I would amen that. You know, you go to serve and to bless someone, and then they end up blessing you.
And serving you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there is opportunity for the KLYT listener to support what's happening in Uganda with Bev Rich and Deb Roberts at calledchristians.org. It's a great place to go and get updated on the ministry that's going on there. And you know, John, I've mentioned several times appreciation for Southern Boulevard Automotive and John Chitwood Cody Berry, the work that's being done right there to support what's happening here at the radio station and around New Mexico. But clearly your work doesn't stop here. It's gone worldwide. We appreciate that and look forward to hearing more. Because you're gonna be getting to a point here eventually where you're gonna be able to get out a little more.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Cody is actually coming in and relieving me for, you know, for ministry time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's his ministry to me.
Yeah.
And Cody's a great man. You know, he loves Jesus Christ. You know, he's great. I've known him for over 30 years. He's a top-notch, you know, technician as well. You know, he's running my shop for me, and he's doing a great job.
Yeah, well, look forward to hearing more of the John Chitwood adventures. thanks to Rebecca for being supportive of that.